You're on Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos.
ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Well, in August last year, the federal government announced a $200 million funding package called RISE to help reactivate the arts and entertainment sector. And so far, about $160 million has been given out. But there are some serious questions about who has received money in the latest allocation and what the process was. Joy and Gregory Hamlin run Mudstone Retreat just outside Manjimup, and they got $621,600 to run a music and arts night every week for 2 years in Manjimup. Now, that's a lot of money, more than a third of the WA allocation this time round, even though they've never run an arts or music venue before. Now, arts correspondent Jo Trilling has been looking into this, and she spoke to Margaret Sears, who's a former CEO of the Department of Culture and Arts and was also the chair of the Australia Council.
Margaret, have you ever heard of Gatsby Skyline Showcase of Entertainment and Art or Gregory and Joy Hamlin?
No, I haven't. The fact that I haven't heard of them is neither here nor there, but I think a greater concern is that other people who should have heard of them possibly have not or definitely have not. I guess my issue around funding processes per se is that there needs to be some form of peer review so that the people who are going to make the funding are quite confident that this is a capable organisation, that it has shown its capabilities to others who are prepared to speak on its behalf. And certainly in all the arts funding processes that I've been involved in over the years, that has been a very strong component of going about the assessment.
So from your time at the Australia Council, for instance, how did the funding process work?
Well, back then, each grant would be sent out to a panel of, it was called an arts funding panel or an arts board, and more recently it's a group of peers, and they would all both assess the application on its merits and also necessarily see how it sits within its local community so that they are able to provide, you know, people sitting in Sydney, for example, in the case of the Australia Council, some insight into the nature of that local community. One would hope that that has been the process that has arrived at this grant. Everyone needs the opportunity to start, and you know, you have to start getting a track record somehow. But this is a very large amount of money. It's a third of all the money that went to Western Australia in this particular round. And I think the concern is from people who didn't put in for grants, so it's not, you know, it's not sort of a green-eyed jealousy or anything of that sort. The concern is that such a large amount of money has gone to an organisation that basically no one who knows a lot about the arts either in West Australia or in this region, I'm speaking to you from just near Manjimup, who live in this region, people who haven't heard about this organisation. So that is a concern, a huge amount of money to something that is untried.
From what you know about their proposal to run a weekly events night showcasing music and comedy in the hope of drawing an audience of around 200 people, you know that region. Is that feasible?
Well, look, you know, you never want to be a sort of put a downer on things, but I mean, Manjimup is a small, the town itself, the larger Manjimup is sort of 5,500, 6,000 people. I think about Albany, for example, 38, nearly 40,000 people, and the entertainment centre there holds between 200 and 300 people, I think. And Albany will get usually fully booked out events, but that's a much, much larger town. So it would be, again, important to check the feasibility of any proposal, because everyone can, you know, make guesses at wish lists of how many people they might wish to get. But you have to have, that's where a track record is important, so you know how many people they can feasibly get as fee-paying, ticket-buying people.
The organisation or outfit in question have run a number of yearly events with six artists and an audience of between 50 and 100 people that is not ticketed.
Anyone who's worked in the arts knows that there's a lot of interest and demand for the arts, and people will come to many, many free events. But when tickets come, ticket prices come into play, to get a regular clientele every week in a small town who's going to be prepared to pay tickets. That is, again, where a feasibility study needs to be very, very thoroughly vetted. How is the judgment made to spend a third of all the money for Western Australia on something that is yet to be tried and which doesn't appear to have a well-known track record outside people who've perhaps gone to some house parties? It's a question that needs to be answered, in my view.
Now, that was arts correspondent Jo Trilling speaking to Margaret Sears, who's a former chair of the Australia Council and also was once the CEO of the WA Department for Culture and the Arts, who actually now does reside in the southwest. Now, Jo Trilling, who I said has been looking into this for the last few days, has also spoken to Joy Hamlin about how she'll spend that $621,000 and get a better understanding of what her proposal is.
What experience have you got putting on music or comedy or theatre events?
Yeah, so in the past we have done privately financed musical gigs for New Year's Eve events at Mudstone Spa Retreat, involving up to six artists coming and performing for between generally 40 up to 120 people over between 1 and 2 day periods. So in regards to commercial enterprises and commercial ventures, we have never done ticketed sales or events where we're actually charging for people to come in and actually buy a ticket to come in. We've always subsidised that and paid the artists off of our own back. And probably the most important part to make out of the grant that we've actually received, it is an incredible amount of money, but unlike a lot of the other festivals that have been put up, it's not for a single festival that's going to run over a couple of days. So it's actually stretched over 2 years, and only having one event per week that will be arranged by us. So in terms of our organisation, our logistics, planning, operations, of which we have considerable experience in that field, which will be transferable skills, which we have accumulated obviously over the last 30 years in other industry, we will then bring that into just the music industry for this particular event to put on one act per week.
What relationship do you have with promoters, music agents and musicians?
Oh, that's a very good question. Over the last 8 years, we've had an increasing level of communications with all of those people. It actually started out by meeting a single artist who was Dan White in Shark Bay, and that was back in about, 2012, 2013, and it has considerably grown from there. So we have, we're not only going to be working obviously alone, but with a lot of collaborative partners, and Dan actually now being the festival producer of Strings Attached, which was particularly successful in Margaret River last year. We'll be using that network, and we're also hoping to network with people from the Fringe Festival up in Perth and have collaborative movement throughout festivals in the southwest of WA and hopefully also expanding as far north as Shark Bay.
Joy, have you begun those discussions with Fringe?
Yeah, what we've done with Fringe Perth, we've had discussions with individual artists who have been performing over the last couple of years and discussing with them their willingness to come down south and to do a similar performance during those timeframes that they're in Western Australia and performing with the Fringe Festival. So we'll be looking at doing collaborative approach with them to obviously increase their amount of exposure when they're going from Perth and doing associated gigs from the Fringe Festival, and obviously the associated work that they will be doing with their promotions will obviously then move on and hopefully bring the numbers down to Southwest. Because Manjimup as a venue has not been one of those places that has been particularly on the map for productions, music or comedy. And we're also not looking at just at those two. So it'll be inclusive of other acts, including theatrics and even potentially other arts, including galleries and also other artistic works in terms of dance as well.
Joy, just to be clear, so you've had conversations with individual artists. You haven't had any communication with ArtRage Inc., which runs Fringe World?
No. Okay. No, that's correct.
Joy, just on the point about Manjimup not being on the map, as you put it, I've spoken to a number of established promoters who tell me that they have struggled to promote shows in Manjimup. What kind of capacity are you talking about having at your venue?
So the venue can hold up to 200 patrons.
And it's a weekly show. You're confident you can get 200 people along to see a musician or a comedian? Or a theatre work?
Yes, I really think so. I think there really is an appetite, not only for Manjimup residents, but certainly the surrounding areas. We have an incredible pool of very artistic people inside not only the Shire of Manjimup, but also in our neighbouring shires of Augusta Margaret River, Bridgetown, Greenbushes and Nanup. There's not only an exceptional pool of artists themselves, but by virtue of those artists being in those shires, also a huge appreciation of them. So hopefully we'll be able to draw on those additional shires and the people in those shires to come to Manjimup, which isn't that far away, in order to appreciate what we have to offer.
What is your response to concerns about your ability to draw a crowd of 200 people each weekend? As I mentioned, promoters that I've spoken to have said they've never had success doing that in Manjimup before. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think when the word gets out, it's going to generate its own energy. And certainly, I don't think any one particular venue starts off with a bang. And I think as soon as they can see what we have to offer, the quality and talent that the musicians have, I think people are then going to flood to the area. There's lots of things that are happening inside of Manjimup, not just us. And certainly as part of the amount of money as part of the Supertown and the Manjimup becoming one of those regional hubs, it's not just us, there's new accommodation going in, there's lots of structural increases and improvements that the Shire of Manjimup has made themselves. So I think the town as a whole is actually progressing and getting larger and is becoming one of those focus areas that people will want to visit. So hopefully we will be one of those venues that will be complementary to that and see Manjimup grow overall.
To the RISE funding, out of that $628,000 that you've received, mm-hmm. where will that money be spent? How much will go to artists?
Yeah, so approximately 65% of that total funding will go directly into the pockets of artists. The additional funding will be to support associated activities with them, so accommodating those artists. Reimbursement for travel is also another component of that, and there is a small component which will be administrative. It will also be the marketing and promotion of those performances as well.
What will you do if you struggle to find an audience?
Oh gosh, I think we're going to have to... like all venues, I guess if you do put a music event on and you don't get the number of people, we'll need to react to that. However, we do have a lot of systems in place from our previous skill sets, like I was talking, that are certainly transferable. Mudstone being one of those is ticketed events will be ahead of time. So you do know when you put tickets up, how many are being sold. Obviously, you'll need to cater for that event. So we'll have a good idea of how many people are wanting to take up tickets and also, you know, the price that people are willing to pay for certain acts coming through. So we'll know the numbers that are coming prior to that. We're not going to just have open doors and people rock up and then respond to that. It will be planned ahead of time, and we've certainly got a lineup that we're working on even now.
Joy Hamlin, she was speaking to arts correspondent Joe Trillig. Now Joy did legitimately apply for this money and got the funding, $621,000. We just want to better understand the process around how that money was allocated. What was the decisions behind allocating that money to this particular idea? Because there are artists saying, well, we are established, we have been in this industry for a long time, and we deserve the money. Now, we've asked to speak to the Federal Minister for Arts, Paul Fletcher. He wasn't available to speak today. I should be hoping to speak to him tomorrow morning again, just to find out exactly what the process is here. And now, if you are wondering, Rick Wilson is the Liberal member for O'Connor, and Manjimup falls in his electorate. He was also unavailable and directed us to the Manjimup Council, but their CEO is also unavailable. Now, there are texts coming in on 0437 922 720. And this listener says, I'm a Manjimup-based writer and creative, and I believe in the arts and having dedicated spaces and venues for artists to practice their craft and perform. This bar is not going to benefit anyone but the owners. How is it possible that so much money goes to this project while so many others missed out? And this one, how is it that established venues and artists miss out on much-needed funding for the arts in the wake of COVID, but unknown people with no established history can receive $621,000? The funding should not be made available to prop up a business and their newest speculation. Well, they're going to give it a go. They're going to give it a go. How has the grant panel approved this? And that's, I think, the point of this discussion today is just, again, better understanding the process. And it's good for you as a taxpayer to understand how decisions are made. Susie says, so much money should not have gone to such a small country town when we have so many artists in need of funding, especially to people who are so inexperienced. Fiona, good morning to you. I believe you're an arts worker in Northcliffe.
That's right. I'm the Artistic Director and General Manager of Southern Forest Arts, and I also sit on the Chamber of Arts and Culture for WA, so I have a local perspective, but also a sector-wide perspective.
Well, I'm interested in both of those perspectives. What can you share this morning, Fiona?
As a regional arts practitioner myself, I always welcome any investment in the creation of meaningful arts and culture experiences for people living in regional WA communities. So I applaud investment in the regions. I am a little concerned about the newness of Greg and Joy into this industry. That does concern me. So I guess what my role and the role of Southern Forest Arts can be in that is connecting with Joy and Greg, and I did so yesterday, and offering to act as a bridge to the industry and try and facilitate some of those connections that I think will be useful to them in supporting artists coming into the area and supporting the creative industry.
I mean, is there a potential here for Manjimup to become a new creative hub, as Joy would like it to be? And realistically too, attracting 200 people. I've read the submission here when I've got the reasons why in the media release from Paul Fletcher, and he says it will showcase original artists in regional WA providing their venue, Gatsby Skyline. So this is obviously a venue that Joy will be renovating with weekly shows throughout a two-year period, wanting 200 people a week. I mean, that's a big ask.
That is an ambitious bow to pull. I agree with that. But I also acknowledge, as Joe has said, Manjimup has changed a lot in the last decade. So I'm going to get on board and try to support them. And I know our organisation will. As a hub for the Southern Forest and Valleys region, we work with the Regional Arts Network. And so we can try our best to introduce them where possible and support them in connecting to industry. Because I actually think, as you mentioned before, connecting to Fringe, connecting to WAM, connecting to the Chamber, these are the things that we can support Joy and Greg to do to make sure that artists do receive the funds that should be given to artists.
Fiona Sinclair, thank you very much. Fiona, they're giving a local and a sector-wide perspective, saying, look, we've got to try and make this work and we'll work to try and make those connections. This listener says, there is no way 200 people are going to drive on country roads at night every week to see a gig in Manjimup. Over $500,000 for this is insane. This is more than most theatre companies' annual budget. This decision is unbelievable. And this listener says, it's a slap in the face to the events and arts industry. Again, no collaboration by government with the arts, music and events. This makes me furious. And again, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Hopefully I can get the Arts Minister Paul Fletcher on the program tomorrow and give you a better understanding about the process and the reasons why. Because $1.7 million this time around was given to five WA projects, and more than a third of that money has gone to this one.
You're on Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos.
ABC Radio Perth and WA.